Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us, O Lord, and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you're faithful to provide our every needs according to your riches and glory. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Okay, this is going to be a couple of revelations given to Eve Brast. We called it Provision for David's House. I'm a little bit apprehensive to share this, but I'm going to do it in obedience to the Lord's word that was given through Eve. Okay, in a couple of revelations here. So, I'm letting her do this. I'm just going to read it. Eve said, I had asked Father to give me a dream or a word, and which she got both, concerning how David would be able to purchase his house that he is currently in after our meeting on Thanksgiving. David shared a word I had received from the Lord on 11/26/19. Concerning Father's provision for the purchase of his house, which he has promised to him. The owner was going to sell the house, but was offering David the first chance to buy it, and has checked back with him several times. Then the dream and word below is what the Lord gave me. And here's a portion of that word on 11/26/19. I asked Father concerning some of David's questions, and then I asked, what about David's house? And the Father said, speaking to David, do not be anxious or troubled concerning the house. I have desired it for my dwelling place. I will not allow it to be sold to another, though they might try. It will not succeed. I will provide for the purchase. Okay. He's been mighty, mighty accurate with her words. You said, I asked for a confirmation of this word with a couple of quarters that I keep on my nightstand that rarely come up all heads. And I got two heads. And I also asked for a confirmation of this. And I got the same. So Eve then said, I asked for a random word, and my finger was on Psalm 33, 13, in context 9-22. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. That really hit the nail on the head concerning this word and revelation and dream, you know. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the nations to naught. He maketh the thoughts of the peoples to be of no effect. So he's in control of all things. He is a sovereign God. The counsel of the Lord standeth fast forever. Well, you'll notice that the confirmation three times that what Father promised he would do. Well, that's what he was saying about this word in Revelations. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh forth from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh forth upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He that fashioneth the hearts of them all, that considereth all their works. There is no king saved by a multitude of a host. In other words, by man's works, right? A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither doth he deliver any by his great power. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul hath waited for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hoped in thee. And then on 11:30:19, Eve said, I dreamed that I and my oldest, or firstborn, son, Noah, was 9 years old in the dream. We were going on a mission field trip with local and larger UBM. So it's to larger UBM too. I believe that I and Noah represent the corporate body of the first fruits. We are representing the whole of the corporate UBM body also. Okay. That is the first fruits in all of the UBM body also. Well, in my note, the firstborn of the bride has the nine fruits of the Spirit. David, as a type of the man-child, is God's firstborn son, according to Psalm 89 and 27, where it says, I also will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. And she says, I literally got this very word when I asked for a random word in real life for Noah 3 years ago. Praise the Lord. The Lord confirms his word, doesn't he? We were all going to this huge multi-story white marble mansion that was not more than three stories. And I believe that this, you know, having looked at the rest of the revelation, is our Father's house. Praise God. It was very bright outside as the sun shone down on us and upon the mansion as we were approaching it. I personally believe the three stories represent three levels of maturity in God's house. Isaiah 60, 1 through 5, addressing the bride, Father says, Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and nations shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. This because of the light shining down on the house, right? So first God manifests the glory to the bride, and then he brings his people out of Babylonish captivity to come under the bride, as it was originally in the time of David. Okay. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. They all gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy son shall come from afar. Thy daughter shall be carried in the arms. Then thou shalt see and be radiant. That's the bride. Then thou shalt see and be radiant, and thy heart shall thrill and be enlarged because of the abundance of the sea. The sea is, of course, the tribes, multitudes, nations, right? According to Revelation, shall be turned unto thee. The wealth of the nations shall come unto thee. Praise be to God. We know that's true because we've been getting that for some time. And Jeremiah 3:14-17 says, Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am a husband unto you, and I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and will bring you to Zion. And that is the bride. And these are the people that God is bringing to be a part of the bride. Okay. And I will give you shepherds. That's the man-child body. According to my heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass when you are multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, says the Lord, that they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they miss it, neither shall it be made any more. Why? What is it being replaced by? Well, verse 17, at that time they shall call Jerusalem, that is the bride, according to what God spoke to John in Revelation. They shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. Well, you notice here that Jerusalem is the bride, and now she is the throne of the Lord, along with their king, David, the man-child who was caught up to the throne in Revelation 12. All right? And Revelation 3 and 21 says, he that overcometh, I will give to him to sit down with me in my throne. There it is. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. So this Jerusalem, this bride, is the throne of the Lord. The Lord chose Jerusalem or Zion for his dwelling place. And of course, his temple was there, physically speaking, in order to give us a spiritual parable. And then we see the nations of God's people come to the bride and the man-child to be under their rule as it was in David's time. And all the nations shall be gathered unto it to the name of the Lord. That's the nature, character, and authority of the Lord to Jerusalem. That's why the bride is so beautiful, is she manifests the name of the Lord, nature, character, and authority. Neither shall they walk any more after the stubbornness of their evil heart. So this is the chosen bride that is not going to be stubborn. There's no one in it going to be stubborn after their evil heart or walking in sin, right? And so there you have. We just gave you two confirmations of that scenario, okay? So then Eve said, when we got inside and my eyes were adjusted, I saw beautiful polished marble floors throughout and a large grand staircase with cherry wood banisters curving up to the second floor. There were elegant crystal chandeliers and many, many rooms. Well, that reminded me of John 14, 2 through 4. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know the way. Of course, we know Jesus said, I am the way. If we look upon him, he is the way. He is the revelation of the New Testament church, and he is the way. And anybody that doesn't copy what the Bible points out, what the Word of God says about what the church is, what it does, what its promises are, what its gifts are, they do not know the way, because they do not know him. Very dangerous to proclaim to be the church and not look anything like the church did in the book of Acts. Yep. And make up doctrines where you don't have to obey the word anymore or come into the image of the word Jesus Christ anymore. Now you've got a better way. Eve said, the rooms that I saw were furnished with antique cherry wood furniture and antique maroon Persian rugs of different designs. What's the thing about the antique? Well, this is a type of the house of God at the beginning. The ancient house of God, the way he formed it at the beginning. Which we should have never departed from for Babylonish religion. That's what Babylonish religion does. It's coming to invade the church. Babylon invaded the apostate church. and made it something that was not a church. Isaiah 46, 9 through 13. Remember the former things, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. See what God did in the beginning? That's what he's doing at the end. What he revealed to you at the beginning, that's what he's doing at the end. It's, you can't change it because your preachers fell away from the Lord. You can't change it. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. And from ancient times, there it is, the ancient times. That's why the ancient furnishings. Ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. There it is again. The Lord is going to do what he says in his word. By the way, his word does tell us clearly that he gives gifts of dreams, visions, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, and on and on. He still does that. If your church doesn't have that, that's not a church. Okay. Calling the ravenous bird from the east and the man of my counsel. Oh my goodness, here it is. So many times Cyrus is mentioned in the Bible, although not always by name, he is mentioned. And we know that's a type of trump, which is our time. From a far country, yea, I have spoken. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed. I will also do it. Hearken unto me. He is doing it, isn't he? Isn't it a miracle what he is doing? Glory be to God. Hearken unto me, you stout-hearted. And there's a bunch of stout-hearted people out there that proclaim the church is not that anymore. That are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off. And my salvation shall not tarry. I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. Notice, Israel's going to come under Zion because salvation is going to come out of Zion. And the word of the Lord from Mount Zion, the Lord says. Jeremiah 6 and 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest unto your souls. See, there's no rest in the apostate church. If that which abide in you, which you heard from the beginning, then you abide in the Son. Don't change the word of God for anybody or any apostate preacher who are leading people astray by the multitudes. And that's a historic thing. It's happened throughout the history of the Bible, and the apostates are going to pay the price for this. Eve went on to say there were also many beautiful rooms with large libraries with shelves and shelves of books from floor to ceiling and large antique fireplaces with vigorous fires burning. Well, let me say that in God's original house, there's much knowledge available to his children, but they have followed after Babylonish religion, and it takes a fire to burn that out of them. And that's why we go to our cross, and that's why we go into the furnace to come out like him, burning up of the wood, hay, and the stubble, right? And Eve went on to say, studying the word of God will burn up the flesh. Yes, it will. Now, if this is God's house and you're not to depart from what is written, these are books that merely point out what the Bible says. They don't add to it. They don't take away from it. They can't. It is against God's word, and he pronounces a curse upon it. So, yes, God has written books, and they always point to his book. All they do is assimilate what is written in his book. That's all they can do. She went on to say, there were many study desks made of cherry wood and beautiful antique upholstery, upholstered tapestry couches, and chairs for sitting and reading or studying. Amen. And she gives this verse, 2 Timothy 2 and 15, from the King James. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Joshua 1 and 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. There is no prosperity in the kingdom of God, no prospering in the kingdom of God, if you change it, if you add to it or take away from it. You must observe to do what is written therein. And then thou shalt have good success. And Ezra 7 and 10. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. Yes. And that's the only way you can teach them is if you first obey them. In 1 Thessalonians 4:11, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands, even as we charged you. Amen. This is God's house. This is real house. And to prosper in it, you know, is to go up from floor to floor, right? Some people are still in the basement. And then he said, to the right of us, past the foyer, was a large kitchen that looked similar to a kitchen in a high-end restaurant. It was all stainless steel, and there were many round tables beyond that for people to eat at. Amen. Well, my thought was, in Father's house, all hunger and thirst for truth is met. Jesus, who is the Word, is also our bread. And he said in John 6:35 through 51, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall not hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Make sure you're eating the bread of life and not that of Babylonish religion. Don't add to or take away from the word. That's rule number one. But I said unto you that you have seen me and yet believe not. That was a bunch of apostates. And they see God in many people today and they believe not. And they see witnesses and testimonies of people talking about signs and wonders and the miracles that God does and the provision he gives to make us holy. And they believe not. But then Jesus said in verse 37, all that which the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And who is he? The Word of God. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Oh, we must be so careful. And then he said, David led us all up the grand staircase to the second floor. And when we got to the top, I realized that it was a children's cancer hospital. Ooh. Well, God's children are living under the curse of death, which is like a cancer in their souls. And they need to be led to a higher place in God and to a place where nobody adds to or takes away from the word. There were many patient rooms, but I didn't see any nurses or doctors because basically that's the works of the flesh. You don't find Jesus or any of his disciples, using the methods of the world. They, spoke the word of God by faith. They laid hands on people and the sick recovered. We were the ones who were there to minister the word and healing to the children and their families. Amen. Amen. Let's get back to God's word. We are coming into the image of Jesus in his holiness and in his works. And he demonstrated how he wanted this to happen. Luke was not a physician. The word is healer, iatros. He was a healer in the form that Jesus was a healer. He laid hands on the sick. See, that's a baloney that the Babylonish religion perverting the word of God. His house has the cure because his disciples have the bread of life. Amen. Amen. That is true. So we all paired off into twos. Noah and I paired up, and then we all went around ministering to the sick children and their families. Oh, it's coming, folks. The anointing is going to come upon God's people, and they're going to go forth as Jesus and his early disciples and apostles did, and with signs and wonders and mighty miracles. Not that they're not partaking of these in a limited way today. They are. But this anointing is coming. The latter rain anointing comes on the morning of the third day. And here we are on the morning of the third day. Noah and I were representing the whole of the corporate UBM body also. That's the leadership of the UBM corporate body. I agree with that. Mark 6, 7 through 15, she got. And he calleth unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two. And he gave them authority over the unclean spirits. And he charged them that they should take nothing for their journey. This is Jesus sending forth his two witnesses. The man-child sending forth his two witnesses as a type and a shadow of what will repeat in our day. And he gave them authority over unclean spirits. He charged them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no bread, no wallet, no money in their purse, but to go shod with sandals. And said he, put not on two coats. And he said unto them, wheresoever you enter into a house, there abide until ye depart thence. And whatsoever place shall not receive you, and they hear you not, as you go forth thence, shake off the dust that is under your feet for a testimony unto them. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. And it's coming again very soon. Amen. And she went on to say, when we had visited and ministered to everyone, we followed David back down the stairs and gathered over near the large kitchen. Ooh, good. There was a commotion in the kitchen that this is in God's house. There was a commotion in the kitchen amongst the kitchen staff and the chefs that prepared the food and served it to the sick children and their families, but I couldn't make sense of it. Well, there is confusion in God's house, and the chefs are the people who prepare the food, the spiritual food, are the problem. I saw the CEO of the hospital. I guess you can figure out who that is, right? Who was dressed, and I mean, every church, it should be a hospital. It's to care for sick people, either sick mentally, physically, or psychologically, right? I saw the CEO of the hospital, who was dressed in a suit and white dress shirt, come into the kitchen to hear the complaints of the chefs and staff. He was an older man with gray hair. I've seen this guy before somewhere. The chief executive officer represents the father who is over all his house. Amen. Amen. David was quietly talking with the men in our group when I heard the CEO say, okay, no problem. I'll take care of it. Then he called David over to the kitchen with a large beckoning motion of his right arm. David humbly and quietly slipped over to the CEO's right side, kind of looking down with his hands in his pockets as if uncomfortable with the attention being called to him. And then she says, in parenthesis, humility is a requirement in order to serve the Father and His kingdom and people. She gives Proverbs 29 and 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but he that is of a lowly spirit shall obtain honor. And Proverbs 15 and 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor goeth humility. Well, God's making that point there, isn't he? And I then noticed that David was wearing the same suit as the CEO. Well, you know, we put on Christ, don't we? And it's our works that he identified. Don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. What we put on represents his works, and this is representing heavenly works of the Father. The CEO put his right arm around David's shoulder and gave him a squeeze and smile of approval and told the distraught chefs that, quote, David will take care of it, unquote. And then she gives John 14 and 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Yes. And of course, if you got a church that doesn't believe in the greater works, and they do know works, their people die early, lots of times from diseases and things. They don't grow up in Jesus because the word is not being sown in their heart. So they're not bearing fruit either. And these people are guilty. Babylon is guilty of the blood of the saints, as Revelation tells us. So Eve said, I went over closer so that I could hear what all the fuss was about. And I heard the chefs telling David that they were out of loaves of bread to feed to the sick children. This is happening in our day. They are not feeding the bread of life, the manna from heaven, who is Jesus Christ. They are not doing it. The chefs represent ministers in Father's house who prepare spiritual food for his children. And in much of Father's house, they have no bread to make his children healthy and mature. They don't have it. Oh, yes, they can make, you know, religious people out of them, just like the Pharisees did. But they can't make Christians out of them because they don't believe the original word is still for today. Then Eve said, there was a large, deep metal serving pan on one of the counters, and I watched David place his hands on both sides of the pan. He bowed his head and closed his eyes and prayed and blessed it. So it reminds you of what Jesus did, right? Then suddenly it was filled to the top with many loaves of bread. And you know what? The Lord told me to call our ministry unleavened bread, not because we're perfected in that area, but because that's what we stress is all of the word, right? And the Lord is, of course, coming to perfect us in that area. You know, it's going to be absolutely pure when he comes, right? We do our best by his grace, but he is the one, right? So she was given 2 Corinthians 9 and 10. And he that supplieth seed to the sower and bread for food shall supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness. There's only the true word of God can do that, you know. And also Ecclesiastes 11, 1 through 6. Or we're going to do 1 through 2 here. Cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. give a portion to seven, yea, even unto eight. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. It's very important that we get the word of God into people's hearts to prepare them for these evil things that shall come upon the earth. God's people are not being prepared to live through a great tribulation like the early church had to live through. And throughout history, when the church was attacked, even the Old Testament church was attacked by the beast, they didn't survive. They were taken captive. They were conquered or going through the wilderness. They died in the wilderness because of unbelief in what? The Word of God. The Word of God is what does the work. It manifests Christ in you, the hope of glory. You don't know what evil is coming. I can tell you what's coming. I know what's coming. Maybe not to the fullest extent, but I can tell you what's coming. Great trouble and tribulation is coming. And some of God's people are going to die in the wilderness, just like the last time. And he said, everyone let out a gasp of astonishment, and there was a brief silence before the entire staff erupted into exclamations of wonderment and praises to God. Why? Because the bread was multiplied. Oh, remember how people gathered around Jesus, who was sharing the bread of life, how they gathered around, even multiplied the bread, right? They gathered around him, and they were awed. They hadn't been getting this. He talked as one who had authority. You know, they hadn't been getting this. They were starving under the apostate chefs of that time. So the chefs in much of God's house do not have the bread or word to feed God's children to bring them into the image of Christ. But in this case, David is meeting their needs by multiplying the bread. And Jesus also multiplied the wine. The bread and the wine are the body and blood of Christ, and we need them both. And Jesus said it was essential that we eat this bread for eternal life. In John 6 and 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth hath eternal life. And I am the bread of life. In other words, you look at Jesus, that's a Christian right there. That's Christian. He came to be an example, and they've destroyed the example. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which cometh down out of heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Yes, there are Christians dying on pews everywhere. I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Yea, and the bread which I will give is my flesh. He was the Word made flesh, remember? The Word made flesh. The bread which I give is my flesh. For the life of the world. It's for the life. Read the Word. Forget going to churches that don't believe the Word. Stay home and read the Word. Then you'll know what a church looks like. And then if you find something like that or something along the path that's eager to have all of God, you can go. Otherwise, it's not a church. The called out ones. That's what church means. The ecclesia. The called out. What were they called out of? The denominations. The early disciples came out of the denominations. Today, we have to come out from among them and be separate and follow Jesus, the Word of God. The Jews therefore strove one with another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They didn't know, did they? And Jesus was the Word made flesh. Jesus therefore said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have not life in yourselves. Like I said, it's very important that you get the Word, not one or two verses and go on with a bunch of theology. You get the Word in your heart. because the word in your heart is Jesus in you, and the world can't do anything with that. The devil can't do anything with that, etc. He went on to say they were so happy that they had enough bread now to feed the children in the hospital. Amen. Well, saints, we have fought Satan and his helpers to get the bread multiplied, just as they have fought to take it down. The fullness of the bread or the word will cause the children to feed their hunger, and their hunger will be satisfied. This fullness is who Jesus is. It is the seed that manifests him. And Eve said, David tried to slip away quietly while everyone marveled at the miracle that had just taken place. But the CEO called David back over to his side and announced to everyone that he was presenting a reward to David for his faithful mission work at the Children's Cancer Hospital. Cool. And so he will reward anybody and everybody who speaks faithfully only the word of God and does their very best not to add to or take from it, which is the curse that's written in the end of the book. Then Eve gave Isaiah 33:15-17. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, like putting people under the law with the tithe and all that stuff, you know, that shaketh his hands from taking a bribe, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and that shutteth his eyes from looking upon evil. He that dwelleth on high, his place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. His bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold a land that reacheth afar. Yes, there is a great reward for the Davids that are coming. Reformers who are going to teach God's people get back to the word. All of UBM and the kitchen staff of the hospital gathered around to watch David be presented with his reward. What the Lord spoke to me when I got to this point is it's a reward of time restored. It's also a retirement party for David's old man. You'll see why I say that. You know, that's what all the Davids are waiting for, is this retirement of the old man, right? So that the new man can come forth and be perfected in God and share the word, perfect word, from the throne room. Eve said the CEO brought out a small, polished, blonde wooden box that was lighted inside. It had a clear glass display on the front of it. And inside was an open-faced golden pocket watch with a golden chain and a golden crucifixion spike attached to the other end of the chain. Well, immediately this came to me that in many companies, it's customary on retirement to give the retiree a gold watch. That's the old guy, you know, he's retiring. The old guy's retiring, right? This one has a crucifixion to go with it. Yes, that's the old man, right? And Jesus retired his old man with the crucifixion spike, didn't he? The time of the old man's works is over at crucifixion. Rewarded for a time of crucifixion is, quote, I will restore unto you the years that my great army. Yes, you know the Lord has a great army to bring us to crucifixion. And he said all those years that you've gone through while bearing your cross is going to be restored. How does that happen? Resurrection life. You want me to read it to you? Joel 2, 23 through 27. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, that's the bride, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he giveth you the former rain in just measure, and he causeth to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain. This is the restoration of that time in which you went through the crucifixion. In the first month, he said, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. These are enemies of God's crop. You know, these enemies are given to crucify us, but all that the crucifier stole, God will multiply back. Do you hear me? This is what he said. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and shall praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. You know, the slanderers, the crucifiers out there, they do their best to put the David man childs to shame. Revelation chapter 12, they're attempting to devour the man child into their body, into their thinking, into their ways, right? And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else, and my people shall never be put to shame. Thank you, Father, for doing that for your holy ones. We received this text twice recently, Isaiah 22:20-25. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, meaning whom God will raise up. This is the resurrected one, like the man child, right? Pointing to a resurrection. He is a type of the crucified man child who takes the place of the apostate leaders. He's the son of Hilkiah. And I will clothe him with thy robe. He's talking to the apostate leadership that is about to be removed. I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle. And I will commit thy government into his hand. The man child is taking over, like Moses took over the people who were under the apostate leadership in Egypt. And Jesus took over from the apostate leadership of the Pharisees and Sadducees in his day. This is all just a type and a shadow of what's going to happen in those, what happened in those days and what's going to happen in our day. I will commit thy government into his hand. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, like David was, and to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. And he shall open, and none shall shut. He shall shut, and none shall open. This is what Jesus said. What you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Verse 23, and I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. This is the raised up leadership. And he shall be for a throne of glory to his father's house. Amen. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house. And the offspring and the issue, every small vessel, from the cups even to all the flagons. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that was fastened in a sure place give away. And it shall be hewn down and fall, and the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for the Lord has spoken it. Do you understand this? when Jesus was cut off, the Bible says. He was taken from the cross, and the nail had to give way. The nail that held him there had to give way. And then resurrection, catching up to the throne, came as a type for Jesus in the man-child Davids of our day. Amen. The nail is going to give up. The crucifixion is over. And now, guess what, Mr. Devil? You have created something you can't do anything with. Yes. Eve went on to say, the timepiece hung at the back of the display box to the right, and as the chain dipped around over to the left, where the spike hung attached. Yep, because the left is who used the spike on Jesus and the man-child of our day. But the Judas, a factious leftist, also died at this time by his own hand. So he crucified Jesus and Jesus and the man-child, but he killed himself by his own works, his own hand. So Eve went on to say, David was smiling and looking down a lot because he felt uncomfortable being openly recognized for his ministry work, and slipped the reward into his pocket. And she gave Matthew 6, 1 through 4. Take heed that you do not your righteousness before men to be seen of them, else you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. When therefore thou doest alms, sound not a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have received their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret shall recompense thee. In other words, he will give you a reward. Well, I do feel uncomfortable about this, just like the David in the in the Revelation here. But the Lord ordered that Eve present this to you, and I'm just obeying. I'm letting her do it. I actually wanted her to do it physically, and she said, no. Okay, I guess I'll have to read it for them. So she said, we all proceeded out of the beautiful marble building, down the white steps and onto the large stone paved area where there were outdoor tables and chairs. And I believe that this represents preparing for the coming marriage feast of the 7-day tribulation. A lot of people don't know about that, but it was a 7-day marriage feast representing the 7 days of Daniel chapter 9. 7 days. Or 7 years, actually. And this is going to be a feast for God's people of the Word, the body and blood of Christ, a feast, because they've missed out on this. And during that period, the man-child is going to feed the feast, the body and blood of Christ, for 7 days. Amen. Eve said, David was then called to go with the CEO to discuss his next plans for David and UBM. That sounds like when the Lord called Moses up the mountain and he gave him the plans to come, right? And I believe that this next plans for David and UBM are concerning the crucifixion of David here. Angelica had just had a dream that I died and was placed in a room that she received in the dream represented a tomb. But then she knew that I was not there, meaning a resurrection happened. That's a reward at the end of a long crucifixion, a resurrection. And boy, again, the devil can't do anything with that. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Remember, when you go down in baptism, you go down you. but you die there. And who comes up? Jesus. If you die, Jesus will manifest in you. If you lose your life, you will gain your life, but it will be his life and not yours. Oh, praise be to God. Eve said, I noticed that David left his journal and pen on one of the tables after he had gone with the CEO. So I went over and picked it up and began reading some of the prayers that David had written to the Lord. It was like reading the Psalms. I read about sufferings and griefs and trials and the many prayers for his family and the sheep he cared for. And then I read his prayer concerning his house. So I believe that this represents a spiritual memorial for David, right? In the dream, I was praying for the Lord to please provide for David when a voice above and behind me said, tell everyone in all of UBM to take up a collection for the purchase of David's house. Well, like I said, I'm glad she's doing this. I've never done anything like this. I've never taken up a collection. Father told Eve to tell you this, so I am just letting her say it in obedience. I've never taken up a collection for myself or had anyone else take up a collection for me, so this feels quite awkward. So Eve said, I know that David would never do something like this in real life. Out of greed or personal ambition, he has preached against the filthy lucre of the apostate church leaders for years and has never let his own personal needs be known or taken an offering or received UBM money. He has given to everyone. He will only share this out of obedience to the Father. A couple of months ago, I learned that the owners of the house that the Lord promised to David and which he is renting wanted to sell it, but were giving him first choice to purchase it. Yes, that is true. And when the owner told me this, I knew it was time to buy it. So by faith, I told them I would buy it. And a little background on this house is that the man and the wife who rented this house before me asked me if I would come look at it with them. Yeah. So I did. I walked with them through the house as the realtor was showing it. I said privately to the Lord as I walked, Lord, I like this place. Could you get me something like this? Of course, I was in a rent house across town at the time when I said this, you know, and the Lord thought on that, or he already had a plan to do it. So I didn't tell them that I did this, but after they got the house, they were informed by the Lord that I was to own the house, and they told quite a few people this, but I didn't know it. And I was renting a house a few miles away at the time. And when I first saw that previous house, the one I was renting before this one, the Lord said, call them. I said, Lord, that house is for sale, not rent. And the Lord had told us to only rent until our own houses were provided. That's what he told us, only to rent until our own houses were provided. And I've advised everybody that way, you know. And he said to me again, call them. So I called the realtor, who said they only wanted to sell it. Realtors generally, that's what they want to do. I said, I don't care if you keep it for sale. It's not going to sell until I'm supposed to leave. Because knowing the sovereignty of God, you know, it's a real advantage. And by the way, this realtor happened to be the sister of the man that owned the house. So she wasn't just thinking about her sale here. She was thinking about her brother, you know. So she put it before him and he said, okay. Well, I said this because I had already asked the Lord to let me only rent this house until I was to leave for the house that he has chosen for me to own, which is the one I'm in now, and I'm renting now, right? So they agreed to rent it to me. And the owner thought that he had the house sold 7 times while I was living in it in a row. And each time I told him, the Lord told me that the house is not going to sell. And each time he thought it was a sure thing. And my wife wanted to go find another place, but I told her that we didn't need to worry. The house would not sell. And after about the third time of this, the owner said to me, wow, you have a pretty good record of being right here. I said, it's not me, it's the Lord. Well, he was a Methodist, and of course they don't teach Methodists to hear from the Lord, that you can hear from the Lord and that he talks to you. See, you see, this is hurtful to people when they don't teach people the truth. So he was a Methodist and really didn't know that the Lord would talk to us. And after that, he would ask me every time, and I would tell him the same thing. The house is not going to sell. And that happened up until the 8th time when I felt differently in my spirit. So I asked the Lord if it was my time to go to my house. And I reached in my pocket and pulled out 3 coins, and they were all heads for yes. So wanting a confirmation that I know the Lord put in my heart, I called across town to one of our studies and asked them to get a confirmation. So 5 of them threw coins on the floor, and they all came up heads. That ended up being 8 heads in all for the 8th time. Pretty neat how God figures things out like that. So the house sold, and the couple who were renting my future house had already invited me to come and stay with them. And when they decided to leave, I took over the rent, and I'm still here. Like they told everyone, quote, God said David was to have the house, unquote. Well, it's not a fancy house. It's a vinyl-sided house, over wood frame house. I like it. It's the only one on this mountain. And it's quiet here and woodsy with lots of wildlife, just like I like it. And we have a prayer and a Bible meeting here with a few of us 6 days a week and early in the morning. And we win a lot of battles for our country and for the church by Father's grace. Amen. And then Eve said, since the owners were wanting to sell now, I was wondering if David might have to move again. So I asked the father to give me a word by faith at random concerning the house situation, and my finger was on Psalm 68 and 16. Why look ye askance, you high mountains, at the mountain which God hath desired for his abode? I understand that. I'll tell you why in a second. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. Well, in this case, the house of David is on a mountain, even as King David's house was. Yeah. So Eve went on to say, then I was reminded of another psalm, Psalm 132, 1 through 18. Lord, remember for David all of his affliction, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty one of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a tabernacle for the mighty one of Jacob. Amen. A tabernacle. Of course, we're building a tabernacle, you know, a tabernacle of God's people so that the Lord may inhabit them, right? And verse 6, lo, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the field of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Lord, the Lord has sworn unto David in truth, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. In other words, you know, when we overcome, we sit down with Jesus in his throne. That's what he said, right? So how do we overcome if we don't know what the word says? If we haven't been given the original word, how do we overcome? How do we come into the image of Jesus, who is the word, if we don't put the word in our hearts, right? Verse 12, if thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children also shall sit upon the throne forevermore. Yes, overcoming, getting the word and overcoming and living the crucified life, you know, is how you are put upon the throne, right? You sit down with me in my throne, he that overcometh, as I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne, right? For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my resting place forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Her priest, there's that bread again. Her priest also will I clothe with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. I received by faith at random, the Lord will build thee a house. And it's in 17, 9 through 10. First Chronicles 17, 9 through 10. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in their own place. Now the Lord has told us that this is what he is going to do here. I will appoint a place for my people Israel. I will plant them, and that they may dwell in their own place. In other words, they're not renting anymore. Their own place, and be moved no more, neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more as at the first. That's the faction. And as from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, I will subdue all thine enemies. Moreover, I tell thee that the Lord will build thee a house. Amen. And we do thank you, Jesus. Eve went on to say, well, a few of us who knew about this situation were praying for the financial provision needed. So in the dream, I called all of UBM together. That includes you that are only in touch with us by broadcast, right? And announced the collection that the Lord had spoken concerning David's house. So basically, she's doing that now. And she said, it is in obedience to this portion of the dream that we are sharing this with larger UBM. Father is wanting to use us all in his purpose for this situation, that his will be fulfilled. It is purely out of obedience that we share this and not for any other reason. So saith Eve, and the Lord through Eve. And she went on to say, We all gave sacrificially as much as we could, both small amounts of money and large. That is in the dream. I woke up as I was looking at the large woven basket of donations that we had all taken up, and we were all excited to present it to David when he returned from his meeting with the CEO. I like that the best right there. I believe the woven basket represents, she said, our combined and interwoven efforts to bless David with the funds needed for the purchase of his house. And I'm talking about this coming back from being a meeting with the CEO. I wonder, could this represent spiritual resurrection of being caught up to the throne? Anyway, I'm looking forward to it. Eve said, I asked for a text by faith at random for this dream, and my finger was on my steps, quote unquote, in Psalm 17 and 5. And it's a prayer of David, 1 through 15. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes look upon equity. Thou hast proved my heart, and thou hast visited me in the night, and thou hast tried me, and findest nothing. And I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. As for the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the ways of the violent. In other words, the dragon wasn't able to devour, right? My steps have held fast to thy paths. My feet have not slipped. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. O God, incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them that take refuge in thee, from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of thine eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings from the wicked that oppress me, my deadly enemies that compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They set their eyes to cast us down to the earth. He is like a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. You know, Satan is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, right? Arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked by thy sword. From men by thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world whose portion is in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake, beholding thy form. Amen. That's that beholding in the mirror, the glory of the Lord, right? Transformed into the same image. So you said, I asked for a word by faith at random for the part of the dream where Father spoke to me and said, tell all of UBM to take up a collection for the purchase of David's house. and my finger was on, hast commanded in Psalm 119 and 4. Thou hast commanded us thy precepts, that we should observe them diligently. Okay, so that's why I'm reading it to you today. Eve said, I asked for a couple of words by faith at random for the gold watch with the spike and received Ezekiel 44:18 in context 15 through 18. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me. They shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, says the Lord. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. And it shall be that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments. No wool shall come upon them while they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. And this represents none of man's works, right? They shall have linen tires upon their heads and shall have linen breeches upon their loins, and they shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat. And these tires are where she had her finger, right? Amen. And they can't gird themselves with anything that causes sweat because it symbolizes man's works. Right. We don't have to do men's works. We have it all laid out in Scripture. We just need to study it and study it until the Holy Spirit brings these things to our minds so that we can do what the Lord taught us to do. It doesn't have to be our works. She went on to say, The other was Revelation 2:24-28. My finger was on the phrase, I cast upon you none other burden. Verse 24. But to you I say, to the rest that are in Thyatira, as many as have not this teaching, who know not the deep things of Satan, as they are wont to say, I cast upon you none other burden. Nevertheless, that which you have, hold fast until I come. And he that overcometh, and he that keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give authority over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to shivers, as I also have received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. Well, amen. You said, I asked for a word concerning the chefs running out of bread to feed the children, and then David having to multiply the bread for the children and receive by faith at random. Daniel 5:26. And my finger was on Mene. And in context 24-29. Then was the part of the hand sent from before him, and his writing, and this writing was inscribed. And this is the writing that was inscribed. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. And this is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom, and brought it to an end. This is the end of the apostate leadership who does not have the bread. Tekel, and it's Babylon too, by the way. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. So the Babylonian kingdom of so-called Christianity is falling to the Medes and the Persians. Cyrus, who is his servant, his shepherd. He also represents the man-child shepherd too, by the way. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold about his neck and made proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And then Eve said, I asked Father for a couple of random words concerning David's meeting with the CEO to discuss future plans, and received Acts 9:11. With my finger on the phrase, the street called straight. Interesting. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go to the street which is called straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one named Saul, a man of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Yes. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And the other was Acts 5:25. So she got these words by faith at random. And my finger was on standing. And there came one and told them, behold, the men whom you put in the prison are in the temple standing and teaching the people. Well, this is like Joseph and Jesus, a type of the end time David man-childs, and they came out of prison to minister in God's anointing. Yeah. So Eve said, I pray everyone will be obedient to give what the Father puts upon your heart to contribute to this effort and his purposes that he has revealed in these revelations. And here's the information. You can send a check or money order marked for David's house to UBM, P.O. Box 23-16-16, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123, USA. And please send your email address too so that we can thank you. Or you can go here. And this is on the front page of our site. It's the donate page. It's www.ubm1.org/page, P-A-G-E, equals donate, D-O-N-A-T-E, and mark it for David's house. And I want to share with you one more revelation here. It is about the death and resurrection of the Davids. And this was given to Vanessa Weeks on 10/19/19. And this is a portion of it. It's a larger revelation. All of us of UBM were in a garage. There were a lot of people I did not know there. This was larger UBM gathered symbolically, you know. But I did recognize Ty. And Barry and I had a new house. And it seemed this garage was just a few yards away, but wasn't ours. And as I was walking around inside the garage, I saw a white propane tank. And this also matches a dream that Eve had about a propane tank, which was to be hooked up to a barbecue pit to sacrifice the flesh. So it was pretty interesting. And of course, the propane tank represented the power of the Holy Spirit to sacrifice the flesh in the fiery trials. And the Spirit of God, who crucified Jesus at the hands of the wicked, Isaiah 53:4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. God is the one that crucifies the flesh, right? It's his power. I walked around it to the right and saw some people I did not know. They were dark-skinned. I believe this talks about walking in darkness. It has nothing to do with race whatsoever. They were dark-skinned and were sad and upset about something. And I believe what the Lord spoke to me was Zechariah 12 and 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. Grace, folks, it's all by grace. Nobody can claim to have attained to anything. We've got nothing to be proud of, nothing. It's by grace. The spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. So anyway, David, who represented Jesus, and Jesus in the end time David man-child in Psalm 89, was called his firstborn. The dark people are the faction who pierced the hands and the feet of David, Jesus, and the man-child. Hands represent works, and feet represents the walk, which the faction falsely called sin, just as they did with Jesus. And Jesus and the man-child Davids are falsely accused. That's a spirit of slander. It's in the government, too. They're accusing, President Trump falsely. And they've done everything that they have accused him of. They're doing everything that they accused him of. And it's true about the faction in the church, too. True. That's what demons do. They want to distract and say, no, it's them, it's them, it's them, you know. Vanessa said, I wanted to ask them what was wrong. And then I looked down and I saw the shoes of a man that was lying on the ground. And then I saw that it was David lying there. And I believe this is as a type of the David man-child body, right? I had a vision of him hitting his forehead on the white propane tank and falling down. And as I said, this is the white propane tank in Eve's dream that powered the barbecue pit that sacrificed the flesh. So the propane tank represented the power of the Spirit to crucify the flesh. And Isaiah 53 and 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. The man-child Davids are smitten of God through the faction, as it was with Jesus, Joseph, Jeremiah, the man-childs of history, right? She said, it made a large dent in his head. He was lying there, and I was standing to his right, and he took hold of my left hand with his right hand. He did not say anything, and Barry put a white pillow under his head. And as I was typing this, it reminded me of Jacob as he slept with a stone under his head. Genesis 28, 11 and 12. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, And the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And, you know, he likened, the Lord likened himself as a ladder going to heaven. You know, the Son of Man. He's our way, right? A way. He's the way. So we know the way. And we know that it is Jesus, the Word of God. Right? You won't know the way by looking at Babylon. They don't know the way, and they're not going to make it. The way is the Word of God. No one has ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. That's the Son of Man. There's no way except his way. And no one's going to go but the manifested Word made flesh, right? Well, she went on to say that most of those people scattered, as the people in darkness. This reminds me of this scripture in Mark 14 and 27. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered abroad. Yes, indeed. It's history repeating, right? And this is exactly as happened with us as an example. She said, I wanted to yell, call 911, but I couldn't speak. And at first, David was bleeding, but then I realized that he was no longer bleeding, and I was amazed. Well, what does that mean? Well, Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. In other words, the Davids were being emptied of the life of the flesh so that the life of Christ could fill them by spiritual resurrection. All right? 2 Corinthians 4:10-11 says, always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. So you have to cooperate with God in this crucifixion. He's going to bring wicked people to you to help you on the cross, to nail you on the cross, right? And you have to cooperate by turning the other cheek, resisting not the evil, etc., etc., you know, and by being obedient to what the Word says concerning the situation. That the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. This is what they don't want you to know, is that Jesus is coming in our mortal flesh, by his Spirit and by his Word, to those that live the crucified life. He is coming in their flesh. And of course, everyone has to walk by faith, seeing this as having already been accomplished by the Lord. That's why we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into the same image from glory unto glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18. So here is 16 through 18 where we were, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 through 18. Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Keep your eyes on the heavenly. Keep your eyes on heavenly Jesus too, right? She said, I was afraid he was dying, and I wanted to say, I love you, but I could not speak. And when I saw him run into the tank and fall in the vision, I remembered that I had already dreamed this. It was very real, and I was afraid he was dying. Well, notice that God, through his Spirit, smote the shepherd, but he did it through Judas in the verse that Vanessa received here. And she said, I asked the Lord for a word about this dream and received by faith at random 2 Thessalonians 2 and 8 in context 7 through 9. For the mystery of lawlessness doth already work. Only there is one that restraineth now until he be taken out of the way. Literally it says taken out of the midst. And when he's taken out of the midst, guess what? Then shall be revealed the lawless one. Remember when Judas betrayed Jesus? He came out of the midst and everybody realized, oh, this is the one Jesus spoke about. This is the son of perdition. Then shall be revealed the lawless one whom the Lord Jesus shall slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to naught by the manifestation of his coming. Even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Yes. So we see the son of perdition, Judas, the faction who betrayed and slayed the son of David, Matthew 25 and 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of these my brethren, even these least, you did it unto me. So what's being said here is that they still, the sons of perdition, are still crucifying Jesus. And they're putting him to an open shame, right? And then, she said, I also received this scripture by faith at random. Jonah 1:13-17. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get them back to the land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Speaking of Jonah, right? Lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Yes, the Lord, you know, had him throw Jonah overboard and gave him to his cross 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, right? So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. You would too, wouldn't you? And they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. And the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And Vanessa said, of course, this reminded me of Matthew 12:40. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Well, you know, in this dream, this text speaks of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of David. The death to self of the David man-child is necessary for the life of Jesus to come in them to lead us. Amen. God's great promise. And Vanessa said that the morning after this dream, we received two words on the resurrection of the Son of David. Sue Gilbert received Matthew 28 and 8 in context 6 through 8. He is not here, for he is risen, even as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead. And lo, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And Shea received Acts 2 and 30, in context 30 and 31. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins he would set one upon his throne, he, foreseeing this, spake of the resurrection of the Christ, that neither was he left unto Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. You know, as Jesus ministered to little Israel, so he manifested in the man-child body, will minister to worldwide spiritual Israel. The things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing on the earth. Everything is written. All of the prophecy of the end times is written in the Gospels, even though people don't recognize that, because history always repeats. And the man-child in Revelation 12 that revelation was spoken to John. He said, come up hither and I'll show you the things that are to come to pass hereafter. So it wasn't talking physically about Jesus. It was talking spiritually about Jesus in a body called the man-child body. And we're in the days of the crucifixion, in the days of the dragon seeking to devour the man-child, but failing. We're in those days. So Vanessa had this prayer. She said, Father, we pray and believe that no weapon formed against the Davids will prosper. Yes, that's right. Except it'll prosper God's will, that's all. Crucifixion of the old man, right? We bind Satan from destroying God's plan for his sons. And we thank you that the Lord Jesus will bring to nothing the lawless one by the manifestation of his coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we know that Satan is a part of God's plan to crucify the Davids. 1 Corinthians 2 and 8 says, which none of the rulers of this world hath known, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And they don't know and understand, you know, the fact that they're still doing it today. Because whatever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. When these wicked people crucify God's children, they're doing it to him. They crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And, you know, the demons and their hosts have a job to do. And their job is to crucify Jesus wherever they see him. That's right. And they don't know what they're doing. They're creating the very people that are going to conquer them because Jesus lives in them. Isn't God's plan awesome? You know, it's you know, playing out in the political world, too. You know, God uses the physical as a parable for the spiritual. The political world is just a physical parable for the spiritual. And they're doing their best to crucify President Trump. who God has put up there and strengthened him and given him a real backbone to stand up to these criminals, these leftist criminals who have lied to, deceived, and slandered the whole world through their own bought and paid for media, their prophets, in order to slander this man. And God has given him a backbone to stand up to it. Yes, he is being crucified. And yes, we will have good results from this. And we thank the Lord for it. We thank the Lord for bringing an end to it too. Lord, I pray for all of the Davids that are out there, that are being crucified by the wicked, slandered by the wicked, the Judases in whom Satan entered in order to do this job. I pray for them, Lord, that you will give them a backbone, like you've demonstrated through President Trump, that you will cause him to stand strong. And, Lord, that all of your Davids, Lord, will stand strong. And, yes, they'll be put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. And that's what we need, Lord. Obviously, the world does not need us. It needs you. And, when you're manifested in us, you're going to do your mighty, mighty works, just like our Lord Jesus did, a repetition of history, mighty signs and wonders and miracles, and spread out through the whole earth this time, because spiritual Israel is Christianity throughout the earth, whereas physical Israel was just that little body of people in the Middle East, which was a type and a shadow for the larger Israel. And Lord, we praise you that you're doing this miracle, and that through this thing that you're doing in the government and in the church, many multitudes of people are going to come out of the world and come into your kingdom. And mighty signs and wonders will be done through the hands of the people who have cooperated with your crucifixion in bringing them to death and resurrection. Oh, we thank you, Father. We thank you for the great thing you're doing. And we believe, Lord, and we give thanks unto you. Job, you know, said, shall we receive good at the hand of God and not evil? And in all this, Job sinned not with his lips, nor charged God foolishly. Yep, he wasn't going to charge God. Yes, he was ignorant of the thing, the crucifixion he was going through, what its purpose was. He was somewhat ignorant of that. And God showed him through it. He showed him he had a little self-righteousness. He showed him through it, and then he blessed him mightily through this crucifixion, and he received much more than what he had before. And then he understood, you know, what was God's purpose. And some people do charge God foolishly. They get angry with God. They don't realize that this is the way to eternal life. This is the way. I am the way, Jesus said. And the way is to take up your cross and follow Jesus to the death of self. This is the way. It needs to be taught to God's people, because they think that God has only done all this in order to give them a prosperous life in the world, not a prosperous life in the kingdom. But we want to prosper in the ways of the kingdom, in the ways of walking in the steps of Jesus. This is where we must prosper. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health, you know, even as your soul prospers. Our soul is our will, our emotions, being conformed to the will and emotions of Jesus, right? Our mind, our will, and our emotions being conformed to Jesus. And so, you know, much of the church does not offer this opportunity, but we must. People must see the goal. The goal is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The goal is not making you happy in the flesh. Crucifixions are not a happy thing. They're painful. And we need somebody to help us to our cross. And that's what these vessels of dishonor were created for. To help us to our cross. Father, we thank you that your plan is working. And it is awesome. Your plan is awesome. Father, we thank you that you put up with our moaning and our groaning. You know, some of that Job did too. You put up with it. And you help us to realize, Lord, that what you're doing is so great and so awesome and is going to be a cause for a great revival of bringing multitudes into your kingdom, and that we can be vessels of honor through the crucified life. We can be vessels of honor to bring in multitudes into the kingdom. And if we're all, you know, taking up our cross and following Jesus, without which we cannot be his disciple, sorry, that's what he said. If we're taking up our cross and following Jesus to die on, to lose our old life, our carnal life, the old man, the self life, if we do that, we will bear much fruit. Jesus said, he made this awesome promise that if a grain of wheat would fall into the earth and die, unless it did that, it would abide alone. But if it died, it would bring forth much fruit. And so, Father, that's what we desire. We desire that you be the only thing left in us, and that you, as the Word of God, will bring forth this great fruit all around us. We pray it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the vessels of dishonor that have been used by you to crucify your people. Without them, this would not be possible. And Lord, Judas found out too late that he was a Judas, and he killed himself. And some people, too, are going to find out too late that that's what their whole purpose was to crucify the righteous. And that for their sin, they'll lose their life. Lord, I pray, Lord, that there are people among the factious that will get their eyes opened before it's too late and will repent. And I do believe you've shown us there are a few there that belong to you, and they will repent. And many others who will not and will, you know, be reprobate in eternity. And Lord, that's what we want. We want to see all of your people learn their lesson. And even shame can bring us to God. Shame of the crucifixion of the brethren can bring us to God. And Paul had that shame, and he worked very hard to undo what he had done in the days of his flesh. And we pray, Lord, that you'll bring some Pauls out of the faction and into the kingdom and deliver them and grant them repentance, Lord, because that those demons that control them, they're not even letting them think straight. They're the stupid demons. They can't think straight. That some cases they don't even remember the things that they've done, or they justify it either way. But Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bring your chosen people out from among them. Make Pauls out of them. And do a great work in the kingdom. Well, thank you so much, Saints, for letting me share this with you. I was a little nervous about sharing it because I'd never done anything like this, but I can see that the Lord took the responsibility off of me and put it on Eve. So praise God. And thank you so much. Bless you. I love you. And it's been a pleasure serving you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Saints. God bless you. And good night.